You are listening to The Three Intuitive Healers with Heather Nicholson, Angela Johnson, and Stephanie Gonzalez. Produced by The Three Intuitive Healers Show. Visit thethreeintuitivehealers.com for articles and podcast shows discussing our personal insights and sharing our experiences with you. It is our belief that every human is an intuitive and every human has the capacity to heal. We'll take you along with us on a journey of self-growth and healing so you too can open your mind, heart, and life to the healing magic within. We'd like to thank the listeners for tuning in today. My name is Heather Nicholson.
Angela Johnson.
I'm Stephanie Gonzalez.
I really could sense how I was pulling away from, you know, spirit, from the magical connection. And it really made me reflect on how my life used to be prior to when I was aware of it and worked at it. And how it must feel like when we talk about, oh, I want to feel spirit, or I want to have these experiences other people have, or to see the magic. But that barrier is keeping that connection from forming. And in this case, sometimes it's your beliefs, but in my case, it's because I'm so focused on the 3D, on the now, what's happening. I'm not straddling, and I really felt it. I felt like I was making a choice. I'm consumed with this, so I pulled myself out of the all. And I thought that was interesting, in that I was really aware of it. I was really aware of it. And I guess that could be a discussion. Can you be in both, or do you always have to be one place or another? You know, can we live straddled?
That was my 2020. Yeah. You know, I did not, my work ramped up, even though I was doing it from home. My 3D work ramped up. And my need to go within and be in the spiritual, that increased. And so I had to find this, I had to find different ways to blend them. Actually not blend them, actually just bring the 5D into the 3D. Because I can't take the day off to do yoga if I'm supposed to be leading meetings, and I can't do a lot of self-inquiry if I have to respond to people on my team. You know, I need to like coach or whatever, help them. So that's something that I find fascinating, and I think it can be done, because I think that's what the ascension is about, is bringing the holy into the daily, right?
Absolutely. I think so. I think it has to be done, and sometimes we're more in one than the other. Would you say, Heather, like, what, you know, do you find yourself having days or weeks where you're just like, I'm just not feeling my connection to spirit because I'm so consumed with, again, the 3D, the things I have to do, work, family, life, and it feels like it's pulling me away from my magic or that connection?
Yeah, most definitely.
And then when you get in that, do you do the work? Is it a mental strategy, a soulful strategy? What do you do to allow yourself to get back to that connection?
So I have a couple of things that I do. One of them is I will actually pitch to the side, and I know that I am off balance. Like my neck will go to the side. I will physically be off to the side because for some reason, you know, that's how I started recognizing that something, I wasn't in balance. That's how I recognized at first. And I was like, what, why am I pitching off to the side? And I kept on asking myself that until I recognized now when I can just physically just sit still in one spot, I will lean to the left. And then that's the universe's way of triggering me, telling me I'm out of balance. So I'll use my words of align, balance, and center, in direct alignment with God. Or if I'm still not centered, it could be there's a distortion there that needs to be released and transmuted, and I'll also do that. And then if it's really like a bag of cats time and I just want to go within, I will, as I'm laying down or if I try a meditation, I will ask to sit in the divine's energy and just sit there and exchange the energy back and forth. That's what I've been doing recently. And this is what it's led up to. And it actually, it has I've seen more significant progress when I do that, when I just sit within the energy and allow it to be, to go back and forth. I'm not directing anyone's traffic or anything. It's just, I'm there in it. And then within the last few weeks, I've been saying I anchor in the divine energy into my heart center. And because I'm the one that's actually welcoming it in, not expecting it to come in and know what it's to do. I'm the one that has to invite it in. So that's what I've started doing, actually giving it permission to anchor in.
So you mentioned that you get a physical response to feeling mm-hmm. imbalanced. Can you recognize that also emotionally or just knowing yourself?
Yeah, it's taken me a long time to get to, oh, this is not in alignment. So yeah, if it's not coming from the heart center, if it's not coming from a place of love, you automatically know that this is totally like mental and emotional fields that are just not in alignment. I mean, if you have a second, you can go somewhere in a corner and do some self-inquiry into your heart center. Because I also ask that when I go into meditation, my meditations have changed so much. Because in the beginning, I used to see everything. I used to sneak up on people and the astral. And I used to see all of that. I used to see the floating galaxies. I used to see the swirling chakra systems. I don't see any of that at all. I sit in a cloud. That's a fog, so to speak. And so maybe in the background, I see a little spiraling galaxy, but it has taken me so much that it just, I have to rely on my senses and ask my heart center what needs my attention right now. And I've gotten used to understanding and hearing what my heart center speaks to me is, this is out of balance. And so sometimes I'm not on my game and I need to ask by each one, is the root system, is the systems, my chakra systems need my attention right now? And if I get a no, then I go off to the other. Is my fields? Yes. Okay. Is it mental, emotional fields, energetic fields? And I list them until I get a yes, no. And so... And then I also, sometimes if I'm not getting anything, but I just don't feel right, I just ask for my team. Look, I feel off and I'm not sure. I ask my team, can you do a little bit of fine tuning? And then all of a sudden I'll just feel myself go. And for the listeners out there who can't see the screen, I kind of feel myself being positioned in the center that feels better. I don't want to say irritated. It's not quite irritated. You just feel off center and they help align you. So there's a lot I do.
That was really super interesting. But you went off a little bit on a tangent in how you get yourself to physically and emotionally get back to center. And that's really cool. And I think that's probably going to be really helpful in the days to come, where I feel like just with all the sun stuff, like, aren't there like sunspots or something? I think people are going to be uncomfortable. So I think that's really good advice.
Yeah.
So how would you, so Heather explained how she had many, many different ways and how she worked, because that's just a lot of advanced work on yourself. Angela, what do you do when you're feeling that disconnection? And is that part of what you're feeling right now with the ego death, or not necessarily?
Feeling very disconnected, sort of, gosh, I it's kind of what I was talking about when I said in the early hours of Saturday morning, where I had nothing to hold on to. And it wasn't a depression. That's the thing. I have suffered depression, so I know what that feels like. This is different. This is just this like nothing is working and it's a bag of cats and I can't grab on to anything. And so instead of grabbing on, I let go and I just focus on my heart, is I guess an easy way to put it, and the feeling of that heart. And that's all I know to be my reality at that time, which, you know, it can happen sometimes because I'm going through this sort of ego death. It can happen while I'm sitting at my desk, and it's just like, okay, let's just take a moment. Let's go into the heart and let's just let that be okay. Let's let that be enough for a few minutes and not try to solve it. And usually when I don't try to solve it, I monitor it. And when I don't try to solve it, it starts to release its hold. And I get back into, I guess, the 3D world a little bit more. In terms of integrating the 3D and the 5D, when I'm in a meeting, I will very often, even when I'm talking, I will suddenly in the back of my mind think, this is a game. This isn't real. This is much a dream as the dreams you dream at night. And so it gives me a little bit of distance, even when it's an emotionally charged meeting, perhaps. I can sort of see myself almost like I'm dropping into a movie. I'm still playing my part, but there's this non-attachment. And I use that in order to get back to, okay, wait, hold on. I'm doing 3D things right now, but I am wanting to operate more from a 5D and up. So let's get that perspective while I play at my job, for instance. Did that answer?
Yeah, anything? It did. And it makes me, because what you're talking about is your own behavior and then how you're seeing it for your own survival. Like you said, when you say, this is not even real, and you're able to, and that's, you're almost, it feels like that's where you're calming yourself down. You're connecting again and allowing yourself to just get that's out great. Of that focus. Right. Let me ask you both. So maybe how we could bring it really simple for our listeners. So if a person is caught up, say, in worry or fear, okay, it's behavior, right? And that's a comforting situation with theirs. And say something's come up and they're worried and fearful, and they're just not able to use, you know, they're not going to sit in the calm. They can't escape those thoughts. Like you say, yeah. your bag of cats. Do you think that's, let me ask you what your opinions would be on this. Do you think sometimes our behavior is like that because in order to release that fear and worry, you have to trade that for trust and faith, right? You have to believe that it's going to be okay. So
that's a great way of putting it.
So do you think we do that to ourselves, not on purpose, but just out of habit? It feels better to keep wearing that fear and that worry because of the habit we're used to? Or why don't we just grab onto that trust and the faith? Why do you think it's so hard to put our emotions into that? I mean, it's so much easier, wouldn't it? Just say, no, I'm going to be trustworthy. I'm going to have faith. It's going to be fine. Why do we keep going back and forth?
For me, so I can only answer for what I've gone through. There's perhaps not a track record of it being an effective, especially if you're in a crisis and you are, you know, really, for good reason, perhaps panicking or something's fallen through and now you can't make rent. It's like really real moments of, I hear you telling me to breathe, but I have, the fluffy isn't going to work right now. And I think you have to approach it in stages. If you are in that sort of dire crisis, and I think that something physical has to happen, whether you get outside and you walk a block or you run a block, just get that anger and that fear out of your body for a moment until you can start to monitor your breath and start to come into the present. And then it's like, okay, that situation's not going away. And you can either attack it from a panicked, fearful mind, or you can attack it, or I don't even want to use the word attack. You can approach it from a centered, inspired mind. You know, it's your choice which way you're going to go into solving this problem. So I think a lot of times at first, you have to just physically get that anxiety out. If you're feeling angry, it's a call to action. So don't be afraid of the anger. It's just saying life is telling you, you need to make a change here. So now let's see where that change can happen. So once it gets out of your body, what I do is then I can start to center and just say, breathe, just be here now. This is the new reality in this moment. I'm not going to fight it, but I'm not going to stay here. So what's my first step out of this room? First, I have to see what the room looks like. And then from that calmer mind, then I can start to take steps And then once you're in less of a survival state, now you can start to go up to the higher, which is, okay, how do we avoid this? Can we approach this differently from emotional, spiritual perspective? What led into this? So I think because, Stephanie, to answer your question, I think either it's a very panicked situation and people have to make quick decisions, or if it's not, if it's a slow burn thing, then those old habits give you a sense of control. Because even if they fail, you're familiar with how they fail. So now you know how to handle the failure. You're asking yourself to succeed in a whole new way. And that's scary. That's why I think people don't automatically do that if it's not their normal habit. It's scary. It's like what we were talking about earlier with the orchids, you know, putting them into a whole new medium, a whole new way, a version of soil. They very often die off their roots at first, and then they start to grow new ones that can handle that new way of growing. Same with people. When you're saying, hey, let's not come at this from a panicked perspective. Why don't we come at this from a spiritual base? People are gonna be like, you're nuts. Then I think it's that whole, when things fail enough and you're on your knees, people finally pray. It's just, maybe don't wait till life pushes you onto your knees before you start to pray next time.
Which brings up a question I'm going to ask you, Heather. I'm glad that was a good segue, because my question was going to be, and what do you think about this, Heather? Does a person have to have a spiritual or religious relationship with the divine, or even believe in it, to have trust and faith? Like, if you believe in nothing, how could we encourage people to trust and have faith and lose the fear if they don't believe in anything? Is it possible? Do you have tools for that? I don't even know.
You know, I don't know, because I've always felt that there was something greater than myself out there. So I can't speak for people who think that there is nothing out there. I know you can find, I think you can ask yourself, do I believe that there is something greater than yourself out there? Then, you know what, then go with that. Go with what, whether it's the universe, source, creator, whoever's higher than yourself, basically, and go with that. I'm trying to answer your question, Stephanie.
That's a tough one because all three of us believe in something, but I'm wondering, right?
For the people who don't.
Right.
I don't see, I'm not sure if I see somebody who doesn't believe in the divine being spiritual. I don't know if there is. Do I know? Are there atheists that are spiritual? I have no idea. You know what I mean? But I don't
believe. That's what they believe in.
What's that?
They do believe in something.
That there is nothing? That they believe that there is nothing?
You know, that's their belief.
But I don't see them. No, but I mean, in all honesty, you asked about spirituality and religion. I don't see somebody being an atheist being spiritual. I agree.
I don't think.
Yeah.
So I just like to wonder about the mindset. How, because we know we're talking about pulling ourselves out of despair, or even just the negative energy that we're carrying right around, and we go to that positive, we go to that light, we get comforted by the divine. I'm just wondering how could a person, how does a person find the positive? Is it science then? If they're trying to get out of the negative, is it statistics? Well, things of course will get better, you know, they're never as bad as our worries, which,
yeah,
that's a statement, right?
That's a great question, one that, you know, I really can't answer.
Yeah, yeah,
coming from a spiritual standpoint, you know, right. I when I was younger, I went to a private religious school, and I always remember them, I just, as a kid, I was like, you guys are full of it, like how could you be preaching that? So I remember believing in God and the divine, but I found that they were full of malarkey, and I wasn't able to align with what they were saying. And even as a kid, I believed in reincarnation, and the school that I went to didn't, and thought it was blasphemy and whatnot. But
which is hilarious, because the early church did believe in
did it really?
Yeah, it got written out.
I bet so. A lot of things were burned up during the 15th century or something like that, when they did the book burnings and the women.
Well, no, but also during the
Council of Worms or something?
Something like that.
RMS, yeah. Where they just voted on what was in the Bible.
Yeah. So it was just, and then later on, as I got more spiritual, I walked away from the word God. I didn't like the word named God. Whatever it stood for, religion for me tainted the word God.
Mm-hmm.
And I had the hardest time until the last few years. I wouldn't even say, I would always say divine source, creator, source, infinite source, creator. I refused to say God until I became comfortable with it. And how I became comfortable with it is I just dropped all the pretenses and said, I'm not allowing religion to have power over me in this way, and I will use God.
It's a release. It's what you and I were talking about the other day when I had that sort of that sermon come, that healing is release. Once you've totally
exactly
released whatever is causing you pain, you're healed. And isn't it funny? It's like, it's not the word God that had the problem, it was you. And
yeah,
I love those moments because that puts the power back into you.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah.
Right. Because we all have the power. We just sometimes we don't know it.
So that would be the same as the power we're putting into fear or worry, right? So if we go back to if a person is struggling with however small or big it is, doesn't matter. If something's going to continue to play its loop in your mind, it's going to take over. So,
you know, I got something to add to that,
yeah,
Stephanie.
Please.
It's for me, this was kind of a slow burn. So when I thought there was possibility that I had cancer, I was trying not to freak out. So, and I didn't want to alert everybody, my mother and everybody else, because I just didn't need that type of energy. I didn't need them freaking out. So I found a few people I can talk to, you know, and I think, like Angela said, I think Angela was right on the mark, you know, go around, take a walk around the block and see what you could do afterwards. If you're still not, you know, able to come at it with a more even tempered, cool head about it, continue to walk some more until you can. But that's what I had to do. I had to wait, and I had somebody I needed to talk to. So, you know, find somebody that you can talk to and that can help you keep a level head about it. Because, you know, my support system was like, they were telling me the same thing. Don't go borrowing trouble. We don't know yet until you get the other test results back. So just stay your course. And then also I remember being very close to my spiritual team, and then they would send, you know, messages in my head, songs or whatnot, and that they're there supporting me, you know, don't count your chickens until they've hatched, you know, kind of thing. But yeah, spirit can reach out to you as well if you're just open to receiving those messages as well.
And be patient with yourself.
Yeah.
You know, we're saying go take a walk. That metaphorical walk may take a couple of weeks. You know, just be present with where you're at. But if you get enough of the energy out, and if you find someone, like Heather said, who can hold space for you, who won't either negate or amplify what you're feeling, but truly hold space for you so that you can go through this process, just those are the things that help you get into that mindset where you're finally willing to say, okay, I want to try this a different way. I want to try this from a, you know, we're calling it faith, a place of faith.
Can we walk it back maybe? For people who are struggling, and both of you, maybe if you have something in your past where you weren't as aware and you hadn't done all the work you've done, so that you're now able to catch yourself and not have it go into days and weeks and months. Do you recall anything in your past where worry, stress, and fear did take over? And what's different then to now? Like, how can we help people bridge that? Where is the change come for you? Is there any story that you could share maybe so people can kind of understand that there is a behavioral change, a thought process change that has to happen in order to be able to flip the switch, so to speak, for yourself?
Yeah, when I first moved out here and I wanted to act, and I had a consulting job, it was a freelance job, and there was a dry spell. And I wasn't, you know, really into acting because, again, I would not go to my auditions. So clearly that work wasn't going to come that way. And I still remember sitting at my kitchen table in my apartment, and I could feel the choice to panic over the fact that money, where was the money coming from? Where was it going to come from? And I felt myself choose to go over into that tipping point. And I looked at my account and I only had $80. And I think I was a couple of weeks away from rent. And, you know, when you're freelancing, it's not like you have an office job to show up to every day. So it was just like, and I just went into full blown panic. And I remember my heart, just that slicing of that adrenaline, just horrible. Like, I still remember. And I remember almost getting off on the fear and the panic and the, you know, and just like amplifying it in my head. And I don't know how I got out of it. I know I certainly didn't come up with the solution that night, but I just remember that feeling. And then, and it was partly because when I was trying to pursue a path I really wasn't meant for, but two, I'd never been, this whole freelance thing, and it, this was all new to me doing it this way. And so there's just a lot of newness. And instead of being calm and being open to, you know, money's energy, to money coming in a new way, I mentally couldn't see how it was going to happen. So I just freaked out. A lot of trial and error. And then, I mean, years later, like, it kept happening. I would go through money and not until I finally healed that. And flash forward to the beginning of this pandemic, when my husband's bar gets closed down, and I have that moment, that singular slice that you feel through the heart. And then it's like, okay, Angela, it's okay. You've been here before. And I remember standing and I got very calm, because I know that the only thing that's important to me is my husband, and not the only thing, but in that moment, my husband, my two dogs, we are happy. Whatever the trappings look like, if the condo has to go, if the cars have to go, if we both lose our job, we will rebuild, because what is external to us isn't what makes me happy. You know, so I knew these little tricks of how to get my footing. And I remember being in the kitchen, and my husband had never gone through this before. He's never not been able to go get a job, go make it happen. You know, it's always been in his control, and I've been able to lead him through this. So it's night and day. If you tell me, oh, you know, I'm going to be bankrupt or whatever, I'm like, okay, I know how to figure it. It's not fun, and it's certainly still scary, but it's a roller coaster I've been on before. So there's this, again, I'm able to see everything and think, this is a game. Even as I'm feeling the fear, this is a game. I put myself on this roller coaster. It's a ride. It's okay. I'm ultimately never disconnected from source.
That's great faith and trusting, you know, in what's to come. That was really good. I was scared just listening to your story. Because that's a lot. That's a lot, you know, to go through. And wow. Yeah.
It's where the non-attachment helps, and not in a I don't care way. I care very much. But I also, you don't need that to make you happy.
That's true. How about you, Heather? I mean, you shared your health issues that you face, but according, and not to downplay that, but you had great tools at this point in your life when you faced this last health scare. Was there any time beforehand when you didn't have the tools that you have now? That
but I don't know if I'm a good example, because even before Reiki came into my life, and, you know, being feeling closer to, you know, the divine and whatnot. So about 7 years ago, I'm trying to figure out how old I am. About 7 years ago, one of my ovaries ruptured, and I was sepsis. I was in the hospital for 5 days, and my organs weren't doing well after that because they couldn't figure out what was going on. And I was the one that always had to be okay for everybody else. So that's how everybody would be in my hospital room with sad, long faces. And here I was. They're like, oh, what's your pain level today? And I was like, I'm an 8. Hi, how are you? I had a smile on my face and I was like, yeah. And even my stepmom's like, you know, you're kind of confusing them because you're smiling at them and telling them you're at an 8 pain level. And I was like, what do you want me to do? You're sitting in my room almost 24 hours a day with these sad, long faces. And I was just so emotionally drained afterwards that I just didn't want to see anybody. And it's hard because for me, I'm always the caretaker. So you're not going to see how much pain I am. You're not going to see how much I'm going through because I will block you from that. And I was always the person that if you saw my weaknesses, you could hold it against me. So I try not to let anybody know what was going on or what was wrong with me. Interesting. So, and I would just be in constant fight or flight syndrome, and it manifested in my body a lot. So did I handle it well? No, because I just internalized it.
So that until made you sicker.
Mm-hmm. Until I blew up at someone or just, yeah, my bag of crazy thoughts was running wild and it just stayed wild for a long time. And that's where, you know, I would lose myself in books. I remember one year I read over 180 books just to escape my life. So yeah, that's where I went. And I didn't know what to do. And that's, I've talked about it in previous podcasts, is I'd walk into my room and I was like, I surrender. I don't know how, but here you go. And I had to wait for an answer for a few months. And then when it seemed like everything was coming to a head, and I didn't realize that when everything comes to a head, you're getting ready to release. So I want to, you know, let the listeners know when everything comes to a head, think about it as it's coming up for a release, that it might not ever come back, or it's going to come back at a much lower level that you can tolerate each time.
Sorry, true. Let me ask you one question. When you said in the past where you didn't want people to see your weakness and hold it against you, so you didn't share a lot, has that changed in part of
it? Yeah, I'm a very much an open book. I'm like, here you go.
To be supportive. Yeah, interesting. And so you don't, is that helped you in not carrying all that stress, that worry anymore like you used to, because you've got ears, shoulders, support, hearts to continue to assist you should you need it?
Yeah, I found my tribe. I found my tribe.
Do you think that's true with anyone in that maybe that vulnerable? Do you think that's important? Do you think for any of us when we have a lot of stress or fear, worry to share it with others? Or
I think it depends on
who your environment is.
Yeah. If you have an environment where you can trust and not worry that it's going to be thrown back in your face or, you know, used against you, use that. So use that. Start reaching out to somewhere where you could vibe with somebody that's not going to throw it back in your face or use it against you. I know there's a lot of lonely people out there that haven't found their tribe yet, and it has to start with you. You have to make the initiative to go out and look for your tribe. It's just not going to fall in your lap.
And if you, and sometimes we're getting off on a tangent, but I think that's an important point in terms of tribe. Sometimes it takes a while. I've gone through periods of time where it was just me. I was alone. And while I never want to go through that again, I now know I can stand alone and I can survive. It's one of the best gifts I've ever been given. And it was also one of the most painful. So I think for a lot of people, they might be going through that right now. And it's augmented by them in a pandemic, literally being cut off from people. But if the intention is there, you will eventually find your tribe.
How about for our closing, wrapping it up? What about any tools? We're talking about how we would encourage others to work through their own fears and worries. How about when it is for support of another? How do we listen? How do we help others who are going through it, and they're caught in with the bag of cats, as you say, or caught up in their stress? You have any simple tools on how we can be good support?
I feel like we haven't let you talk all
episode. No, it was good. I think you guys had very good points, and I was really learning from it. So I think that's fine. But how do you be a good listener? How do you be a good support without judgment, without throwing too much, like, we don't want to put all the woo-woo stuff and the person's, their head's just spinning. How do we encourage everyone just to help another with the heart?
Meet them where they are. Don't try to convert anybody.
Yeah.
Remember, if you're trying to be in service to someone, sometimes just holding space, mm-hmm. being that neutral area where they can just vent, as long as they're not hurting themselves or somebody else, not judging them, and just keeping true to your ideals, but understanding that sometimes the most powerful way you can teach someone is just living just your own example.
Yeah.
And in the meantime, listen.
Yeah. I fully agree with that.
And compassion, listening and compassion will go far.
Yeah, because sometimes people just want to be heard.
Yeah.
Right. Just actually hear them. Don't debate them. Don't try to change their story.
Right.
Just hear them in that space.
Right.
And then not take until them out they for ice cream, you. Right?
Right.
And really understand that everybody right now has put a lot of thought into their life, whether they're wearing a mask or not, whether they're going to the store or not, you know, like everybody is trying their best.
Yeah.
You know, there's very few people walking around unaware in terms of like how they're living their life. So give everybody a break. Everybody is really trying.
Yeah. Everybody's doing the best that they can with what they know. We like to thank the listeners for tuning in to the Three Intuitive Healers podcast show. We hope you're able to find the healing magic within.
Thank you for listening to us on the Three Intuitive Healers podcast show. Remember, when we open ourselves to healing, we positively affect our environment. This podcast represents the opinion of the Three Intuitive Healers and their guests to the show. The content should not be taken as medical or psychological advice and is for informational and entertainment purposes only. Each person is unique, so please consult your healthcare professional for any medical questions. Views and opinions expressed in this podcast are our own and do not represent that of our places of work. While we make every effort to ensure that the information we share is accurate, no guarantee is given regarding the accuracy of any statements or opinions made in this podcast.